Welcome to a brand new episode of the ZC Podcast, where three friends are on the run from Sith Inquisitors. As always, I'm one of your Padawan friends, Zach, and join with me is the Master himself.
Unlimited power!
Zach. And the greatest Mandalorian bounty hunter there is.
Oh, you talk about Boba Fett? Fuck yeah.
You know, I still don't...
I will stand on the hill that Boba Fett got the shaft and he deserves better.
I mean, like, it's always interesting to me. Like, you know, there's certain characters that people just attach to so fondly. Those background Mandalorian characters. Just put those background characters. Like, people are, like, so fucking hyped over Phasma. And then Phasma just got the Boba Fett treatment.
Phasma to the nth degree.
Twice.
Since they didn't show her in the trailer, I'm convinced they've given up on her at this point. Like, she's not coming back.
Well, no, and then during the panel, like, Stephen Colbert asked, like, so what about Captain Phasma? And Abrams was like, she's dead. It's like, but what if she were to come back? No, she's dead. Like, okay, Abrams just... And I saw something that made me also think of that, of, like, someone posted, like, Marvel Universe, Loki's dead. Thor, Loki's dead. Kevin Feige, Loki's dead. Marvel fandom. But is he, though? Yeah. So I just think, like, Captain Phasma, she's dead. But is she?
Did you see that theory that, like, for a while, it was one of those big Reddit sub theories or fan theories. And people are like, that's not actually Bruce Banner. That's Loki in disguise. I'm like, no.
we saw him try to transform into
the Hulk.
Well, and then it's like, when you were trying to be like, but if you look at this scene closely, you could see that he stabbed him with his right hand instead of his left hand. He's always stabbed with the left hand. So maybe it's just a mirror image. Like, or.
That was a hill I almost died on. I might still die on that hill. It's like.
Or that was the only way he could try and stab Thanos.
Or Loki's the reason they all get out of the Soul Stone. Who knows?
He gets the gauntlet. He's the first Soul Stone.
Yeah, I really wish that there's certain scenes in the original Infinity Gauntlet that need to get adapted. Like, we need to see Nebula hold up the Infinity Gauntlet. We need to see Spider-Man meet Beyonder, and then Spider-Man has to teach Beyonder how to use the bathroom. Like, these are some really, really important scenes. It happened. Like you guys said, I can say anything about Doom Patrol, and it's probably real. This one's actually real for the Infinity Gauntlet. The Beyonder comes, this lower pressure in my abdomen. It's like, here, this is the bathroom. Knock yourself out, buddy.
I don't think we need that. Just gonna say it. I don't think we need that.
Can they use the Beyonder? Is that one of those Marvel characters that they have access to after everything?
Even still.
Yeah.
There's a difference between having hundreds of issues to just fuck around and having a finite amount of time for a movie.
Yeah. Did you guys see the, this is also like part of the subreddit culture, but like the fan theory, it's not even a fan theory because this actually happened in the Marvel comics too, but all the Infinity Stones have, specific personalities. Like,
I thought that, yeah, didn't they like personify all of them at one point?
Yeah. It kind of largely happened recently.
Like, kind of around like Kobik. Almost.
Yeah. So people were talking about like, well, if you look here, the Infinity Stones all have a personality because even Kevin Feige said Loki was being controlled by the staff. So like, what if everything is like kind of like Ego, where Ego created all of these different children in Guardians of the Galaxy 2 in order for one of them to kind of like rise up, or how like Ego just randomly gains sentience. What if all the Infinity Stones are sentient in some way, and they just really want to fucking wipe out the galaxy? It's like, maybe. And people are like, well, if you look at Thanos, Thanos didn't really want to destroy the galaxy until he had any Infinity Stones. I'm like, no,
he wanted to do that before he had any of the Infinity Stones.
That was kind of his goal the whole time.
Yeah.
Or it's like the second he picked up the gauntlet and said, I'll do it myself. The gauntlet that has no stones in it.
But he had stone. No, not in that moment.
Not in that moment. When he decided what he was going to do, he had zero stones and then got the power stones, but already had the idea in his head because that was what his whole mythos was about before, of I don't have any stones, but I still want half the population gone.
So it's just easier. If that's to do the it. Case, then we're like all of the like other movies, like at first attempts of like let's try to wipe out the, half the galaxy this way before we go to the, you know, the gauntlet.
Yeah, it's kind of like the what was I think it was a TV spot where the Avengers are questioning Captain Marvel too. It's all well. Why didn't she come the other times we got attacked by aliens? And she's like, yeah. I was busy.
Well, like there are they other, didn't there have are other planets who don't have you.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool.
Well, so I like that clip because like it pans over to Steve and just gives a little smirk of like, you right though. You right, Captain. From Captain to Captain.
Yeah.
Respect the Captain connection.
So this is a really big Marvel Disney oriented podcast just because we're recording this during the middle of Star Wars Celebration.
Near the end.
And fucking Clone Wars panel is about to start like in a half hour, so I'm gonna lose my shit because I have my Twitter hashtag going.
Did updates. You see that at Star Wars Land? They're going to be selling Ahsoka lightsabers.
Yes,
so you can buy the set of them.
Is that like the new Harry Potter wand thing? It's like you can now just buy the lightsabers. Actually, I guess the lightsabers were the original Harry Potter wand, right? Because you could go to your local Target and buy a lightsaber. Well, yeah,
but I wonder like if they're going to eventually like set it up to where like you go up to a stand, like how your wand picks you, where you like go up to a stand and be like, ah yes, here's your kyber crystal.
You have to go
it's
on a
orange.
Big, oh my god, wouldn't it be awesome if at the park there's like a quest where you have to go and build your saber? Like you have to go find the crystal. You have
I would
to put it together.
I would never leave. I would just be General Grievous. I'm like, look at my fine collection.
I was trained by Count Dooku. Now you're just a nerd who refuses to leave. Touché.
General Kenobi.
It's like, where did you get the two extra arms? Don't ask questions.
Just distance screaming.
Is this
in
me?
The
it's like me just like puppeteering them behind you.
You start spinning lightsabers. All you hear is like your wrist cracking. Just like, how is he doing that?
Training.
It's like I am in immense amounts of pain.
So the biggest thing that happened this weekend was the introduction of Steve's new son. I'm not the only one with a son anymore in the Star Wars universe. Steve now has a son.
It was him. It was Dio.
And the internet wasted no time
photoshopping Dio
between
from
Dio Brando and Ronnie James Dio. And but I love him. He's just a cone on a wheel. He's doing his best.
I really hope he has a laser beam in the front of his cone.
It's going to be like the monitor from Halo, just the Spartan laser-esque almost. It's like, oh, he has a little laser
just like
face.
Dio's corner just like shoots a Kamehameha out of it. Just like, oh, love you.
Or what if it like, it's so much force behind it, just like spins him around in a room.
Be amazing. Well, no, it's like his wheel splits and it's like two little feet. And he's
like a tripod.
Himself.
That'd be amazing. And he'd be even more my son.
Yeah. So Star Wars Episode 9. Rise of Skywalker.
Skywalker.
Trailer came out.
Remember when we had to we tried to get past all that? No. Skywalker Dynasty will never
end. I've kind of turned a new leaf.
They actually said, like, made a point of, like, this is the end of the Skywalker saga.
The end of the saga. And Steve and I were talking about this when I got home on Friday. It's like, if you look at the third film of every Star Wars movie, it's now the Revenge, Return, and Rise. So it's like, huh, cool. It's just the starting verbs.
Then you look at
verbs.
The others, and they don't really make sense.
The
Phantom New Force. Attack.
Empire.
Attack Empire.
The last.
Oh, yeah, last. Attack Empire last.
Okay. So,
are you giving me a battle strategy here, Star Wars? Or?
But not, like, literally, every time I'm gone. Every time I'm in doing this long-term field trip with my students, I get a message. It's either from fucking Brandon, I love you, Brandon, Rachel, or you guys. And it was even worse that it was just in our group chat instead of just one person messaging me now. And I'm just like, I want to be in this, but I'm on a bus.
I want to be where the people are. Watching Star Wars, crying my eyes out.
I just love too, like when you're watching those panels, like the audience out there, they're like waving around lightsabers
so
in the air.
Like after the trailer, you see Kylo lightsabers and all the lightsabers just floating around. Like, look at those nerds!
I want to be one. So the trailer opens like this entire sequel trilogy. every trailer opens with someone breathing. And it's like the panting, and now we get Rey out on a desert planet, either Jakku or some other one geographical location planet.
They're going back to Tatooine.
Facing. I was going to say, what if it is Tatooine?
Because let's be real, Luke never got those power converters.
Think about it.
He got way off track.
Someone tweeted to Mark Hamill, like, you have one last chance to get those power converters, man.
That's right.
He actually didn't die. He teleported to go back to the Toshi station.
Yeah, you just find him there. Oh, thank God. You still have those power converters? I sold those like 50 years ago, man.
Like, you're supposed to pick them up a long time ago. Look. Like, have you heard of the Empire? No excuse.
I'm just saying, he did go to the Toshi station in a deleted scene.
But did he get his power converters?
I don't know. He was hanging out with Biggs Darklighter.
So probably character. Not.
Fucking badass cape, was originally an Imperial pilot and then defected like every other fucking Rebellion pilot. And Han Solo.
I was going to say, do you think that's where they got the idea for the Han Solo story of deleted scene ours?
No, the Han Solo thing was always there. I'm kind of bummed they didn't do, like, he was secretly a... Actually, I'm kind of glad they didn't do, like, he's secretly a prince, he has a twin brother, and he was an orphan on Coruscant thing. But man, it really cleaned up the story.
But how cool would it have been if Bon Yolo showed up?
But then we would have the fourth fucking planet-destroying device in the film, because I think...
You mean...
the Sun Crusher would be... In that
Sun Crusher?
Yeah.
Which one was that?
It's the one from the Han Solo series.
Oh.
Where his twin brother used that. It absorbed the sun and then destroyed things. Just like
That's what fucking Destiny 2.
That's fucking what the
Where do you think they got it from?
And I mean, where they're bringing back the Death Star again.
Yeah.
But it's destroyed.
So in one the original art books, like the story that George Lucas would have told, there was like concept art of the main character at the time going underwater, and she would have been in the Emperor's throne room looking out into the ocean, just like, oh, cool. So we're talking about the trailer.
The chair spins around, and Jar Jar Binks is there.
And that story would have like went with the whole concept of like, oh, there's the main characters were twins, kind of like how a lot of people are now speculating. It's like, I mean, Ben and Rey, right?
I was going to say, wait, does this mean that Rey is going to be another, like, Force baby created by Palpatine?
I don't think... So I think the whole, like, she's Ben's twin was kind of thrown away because Han had no reaction to her. Leia really didn't have that, oh my god, my missing daughter reaction. And the more plausible thing that I could see is... maybe Luke's kid.
Yeah, maybe. And I know a lot of people were talking Ryan Johnson was talking on Twitter as like, yeah, J.J. Abrams gets to like play with The Last Jedi a bit and kind of reboot anything he wants to or retcon anything he wants to, which to a degree, I really do wish that all three of the films were directed by J.J. Abrams just because it would have been a little more coherent. It would have
been interesting to see what the second one would have been J.J. style. It would have been better.
Yeah. So there's a lot of cool things. Like, I just love the moment where Rey's out on that desert planet.
Her power move.
She has the lightsaber, and then she's facing down the TIE silencer. Not an interceptor, a silencer.
It looked just like an interceptor, just with some extra trim on it. It looks like a pimped out interceptor.
Yeah.
It's obviously Kylo's, right? It's a problem.
No.
Really?
So the silencer that Kylo pilots is a little more sleek. This one has the silencer wings, but has like more of a TIE interceptor cockpit. So this goes back to you. So people are thinking it's like, oh, while Kylo's off dicking around doing his things, the Knights of Ren are going after Rey.
After three fucking movies, we're gonna get the Knights of Ren finally. You better not fucking just betray us like this again, JJ.
Proletarian guards should have been the Knights of Ren. You have
fucking teased the Knights of Ren for three fucking movies now. They better show up.
And they all die in this film.
I don't care if they all die. As long as they fucking show up and do something.
Would suck.
Do something first.
30-second flashback scene of Kylo killing them all.
Yeah.
Just him standing over their bodies like,
useless.
Middle finger to you all.
So the other big things too, like in the trailer, you got Finn and Poe.
Nathan Drake.
Right. Yeah, Finn and Nathan Drake.
Future Nathan Drake.
I was going to call him Oscar Isaac. I'm like, no, that's the actor. What's his name?
Space Drake.
Poe Dameron. they're on the same desert planet. Finn has Rey's staff too. So I guess we get that long-awaited moment where they all get to pal up again.
Well, and they said that there's going to be a bit of a time skip between the movies.
Sometime.
Like, it's not going to be a direct, like, Last Jedi just ended, bam, right into
the... I mean, doesn't Rey need to go build a new lightsaber?
That's Luke still, so she somehow repairs it. You can tell by the grip.
But is it white? Everyone keeps saying blue. It's white.
It's blue because it's still Luke's.
Yeah. Unless she makes the...
I mean, she could swap out the kyber crystal.
Okay.
In theory.
Sir, the only way a lightsaber can turn white with that kyber crystal is if you purify the bleeding kyber crystal. Didn't you read the Ahsoka novel?
It's been a while.
She fucked up an Inquisitor, took his lightsaber, and then recovered the kyber crystal.
That's right.
So that's why her sabers are white. Sir.
No, you haven't gone true nerd yet.
No?
You're missing one crucial point.
What am I missing?
Actually.
Oh, my glasses.
Yes.
The trailer looks hype as fuck. We're all wearing our glasses right now.
I'm sorry. Two of us actually need them.
Yeah.
I'm literally blind without them.
And my eyes literally were destroying me.
Digital blinding things. Oh, I got text.
The computer lights my eyes.
Oh, it did that to me, and now I actually can't see.
Oh, what's that?
I'm trying not to be Zach right now.
What's that regular light? I don't need these.
Kayla's making cake. I told her, I'm like, I kind of forgot Game of Thrones was coming out tonight. And then she's like, don't worry, the internet will remind you. And I said, yeah, it'll be camps of so fucking pumped, I'll punch a baby, or I don't watch Game of Thrones hair twirl. That's where I'm at. Like, it's like, I'm just like, I'm here to spend time with my friends.
I was going to say, it's like,
and watch
it's like I haven't like, watched the first six seasons. I'll still show up.
Yeah. Subtitles? Yes. Got it.
And is, someone is says Game of Thrones like the equivalent to like, if you haven't watched Game of Thrones, it's like going over and watching the Super Bowl when you don't care about football, essentially?
No.
It's a big cultural phenomenon in the same way, though.
Because watching the Super Bowl, even if you don't understand football, you can still kind of get the gist of things. Like, okay, they're passing the ball, they did that, that's wrong, okay, that's right. Game of Thrones, you're like, all right, why did that person do that one thing to that one guy? Oh, dragons? Okay, cool. I'll just be sitting here until you explain it to me.
Fair point.
Like Zach. Anytime something happened, there was a freakout moment, you'd see him turn to us, and then there was the explanation period, and then he'd turn back.
So, and of course, the most important aspect of the trailer, the last fucking second...
Yeah, it's the...
That was more jokery.
Let the past die versus nothing ever dies. So the most interesting thing to me, I watched the trailer again just to like mentally prepare, but Luke, if it is Luke, this is my thing, we've passed all the things that, like, he's speaking in the plural form. So it's like, so is he like the personification of the Force speaking? Is this really Luke speaking? Is this Luke / Leia speaking? Like, you know, just the kind of nostalgic aspect of this. And it makes me wonder, I'm like, what if Rey's not a Skywalker, but a Skywalker becomes a new title? Like, we do let the Jedi die. But
like instead of Jedi Master,
they become Skywalkers.
Like Jedi Master Rey, it's Skywalker Rey or Rey Skywalker.
She's gonna fucking like just start running, and then she's gonna start like doing wind running from Brandon Sanderson. Just start climbing on the air. She's like, oh yeah, she's a Skywalker. It's just like,
boo.
But it was interesting to me just because it's like, oh, we've passed on everything that we've ever known. You are prepared for this. And it's like, is he talking about the books on Octo? Is he talking about something else? And Steve was commenting on this where, like, each film, her clothes get that different motif change where it's like, okay, she's in the scavenging clothes from Jakku. Okay, now she's wearing the gray resistance robes because she doesn't really know where she stands in alignment. Now she's just in all white. And it's just like, all right. This is where we're at.
Well, yeah, it's the contrast of her all white and Kylo all black of, like, here are the two sides now.
Mm-hmm. I just can't wait. Like, yeah, Skywalker Dynasty. I've kind of turned a bit of a new leaf on it, and I'm like, okay, if Star Wars exists, all of the numbered movies should be about the Skywalker family, and then let's just do everything else. But they did say after episode 9, this is actually from an article, that Star Wars is actually going to go on a movie hiatus.
Okay. I'm actually kind of glad about this, just because I feel like with how much Star Wars we've had, like, we could use a little bit of a break.
We've had 5 movies.
In 5 years. Like, that's a lot of Star Wars.
Right, after a 30-year break.
It was like...
20-year break.
When did Sith come out? 2006? It's about a... give or take a...
almost a 15-year break.
2006? Was like 2003.
Really? No. It was much later than that, wasn't it?
It was early. It was nowhere near, like, high school.
I'm pretty sure it was around 2006. No. 2005.
Okay. Bob, this article is coming from Newsarama, and this is about Disney Bob Iger talking to the Bloomberg. We have not announced any specific plans for movies thereafter. There are movies in development, but we have not announced them. We will take a pause, some time, and reset because the Skywalker saga comes to an end with this 9th movie. There will be other Star Wars movies, but there will be a bit of a hiatus. While they haven't announced any specific projects, Lucasfilm has in fact officially announced a new trilogy by director Rian Johnson, a new series of films written and produced by Game of Thrones creators David Benioff and D.B. Weiss. And Iger cited a focus on television for new Star Wars projects as the reason for the film hiatus, though he also stressed that Star Wars films are still in development. Lucasfilms will launch the Mandalorian TV series as one of the premier titles for upcoming Disney Plus streaming service, which will be there day one of Disney Plus. And then there will also be unspecified future Star Wars TV projects, at least one of those being the Cassian Andor series starring Diego Luna and Alan Tudyk. And then he also said, and the rest of the article is like, yeah, you know, episode 9 doesn't have a name yet. And then it came out the next day.
I mean, I think it's fine. Like, let's take a break. Let's, you know, let's get people excited for something new for a while. Like, make them anxious and, like, want it instead of just saturating everything like we kind of have been.
You remember when The Force Awakens came out and you could buy cabbage and oranges with BB-8 on it? And then they finally did the Solo branded Solo cups. It's hype. Also, rewatching Solo recently. Definitely not a bad movie. Just like...
nah.
It served its purpose.
Yeah. I'm really upset, though, with this film. I have one big worry, is that there's not going to be any giant space battles. The third film always has the best space battles, and I'm kind of upset if we don't get one.
There is one disappointing thing they said about the movie, though.
Huh?
There will be no shirtless Kylo Rens.
Damn. Oh, no. No more square Ben.
So why even go see the movie?
The Porgs better be living the Millennium Falcon still. And then Billy Dee's there.
Billy D.
And of course, you've probably seen the image of... I'm getting that ship back over my dead body. Billy Dee laughing as he's flying.
Yeah. Like, well, he did if get you notice, he's actually in the co-pilot chair and Chewie's in the captain chair. So there's that. Some pretty cool stuff.
Again, it's weird that... they're pulling on the nostalgia strings of like... oh, look, Billy Dee's back in the Millennium Falcon just like episode 6.
I mean, like, it was his ship to begin with.
Yeah, but it's like, all right, we got JJ back. We're doing the callbacks again. But it doesn't seem like it's super callbacky and safe like Force Awakens was.
And I feel like JJ Abrams does a better job at taking those nostalgia bombs than like someone like Ron Howard did with some of the Jurassic Park films, to be honest. Even when JJ did Star Trek, you know, the first 3 films, even the second one being The Wrath of Khan in that sense. But did he direct Beyond? No, Justin Lin directed Beyond.
Yeah, because he had the Fast and Furious bike race or bike chase.
How can I incorporate drifting into the Star Trek? What if we give Captain Kirk a motorcycle?
Yes, make it so.
But how is he going to do it? I said... Captain Kirk gets a motorcycle.
And some classic rock.
It's like, all right, but how are we going to do the finale? Beastie Boys. What? Beastie Boys.
But it totally fits in with...
Oh, no, yeah. The whole fight scene with Sabotage is the greatest fucking moment of the movie. Yeah.
Well, no, I was also saying it fits in with, like, Kirk being, you know, when he steals the car in the first movie as a kid.
just the rebel.
Yeah. So Star Wars fucking hype, yo.
Like, I did find a fun so fact about Billy Dee Williams that makes him just even more of one of the coolest people alive. Do you know what Billy Dee Williams' full name is?
No.
I got nothing.
It is William December.
Interesting.
Sounds like a porn star name.
It does.
A little bit.
You ready for a fun fact? Because we now have like a way of tying all of our favorite loves into every single episode. Like, I'm trying not to go on a Star Wars rant, but there's a character in The Fast and Furious named Han, right?
Yes.
Do you know what his last name is?
Better not be fucking Solo.
It is. What? Spelled S-E-O-U-L, like the city soul, hyphen O-H.
Oh my God.
And Justin Lin straight up said, yeah, Han is based off of Han Solo from the Star Wars movies. Are you looking it up?
Furious Han.
But he's Japanese.
No, he's not.
Is he not?
I don't know.
His name is Han Lu. Not Han Solo.
But if you look, that's his real name.
Nickname is Han Solo.
Yeah.
Right, not his actual name. His nickname is Han Solo, spelled like Seoul, Korea, -O.
Look, man, I'm just going off of the Fast and Furious wiki.
Right. I'm going off the Wikipedia where nickname Han Solo.
And Justin Lin also did say that he and the actor both believe that Han from the Fast and Furious movies is also the same character from the Better Luck Tomorrow series or movie, where a bunch of Asian dudes go steal tests.
Yeah. Also directed by Justin Lin.
Yep. Okay. So that's the way to tie in Star Wars and the Fast and Furious today, kids. Stupid Android update.
I feel like once Kayla moves in, we need to have like Fast and Furious Fridays. Since she wants to see the whole series now. We just go week
watch
by week.
Watch it chronologically.
So if we watch it chronologically, 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, 3.
Tokyo Drift, 7, 8.
Do we include the short films too?
There were short films?
The Los Banditos one where they steal the propane tank.
Nah, I don't think those are as important.
Do they add anything to the plot of Family?
They actually show more actual car racing that the films actually miss out on.
Says you. They raced a fucking helicopter while trying to hack it.
And a tank.
And a submarine. A decommissioned Russian submarine.
My current favorite thing is actually to go watch the new Kind of Funny Fast and Furious in review. Just listening to them yell about it. Start with Tokyo Drift. It's great. All right. The next thing in Star Wars is the Mandalorian footage has been revealed. So we get the live stream for the Mandalorian literally happened like an hour or two ago. It's created by Jon Favreau, and it's the first series to be available exclusive on Disney's new streaming service, Disney Plus, when it launches in mid-November. Series features Pedro Pascal as the Mandalorian, never taking off his helmet in the trailer, along with Gina Carano, Nick Nolte, Werner Herzog, Giancarlo Esposito, Carl Weathers, Emily Swallow, and Omid Abtahi. And Star Wars regular Dave Filoni will direct episodes along with Taika Waititi, Bryce Dallas Howard, Deborah Chow, and Rick Fumiyiwa. The secretive series will take place between the events of Return of the Jedi and The Force Awakens and follow Pascal, a member of the same alien race of warriors and often bounty hunters as Boba Fett, Jango Fett, and Sabine Wren. What if he's actually Boba? Like, that's the big final, like, the finale is he takes off his helmet.
It makes everybody believe he's dead the whole time.
Yeah.
You would see me scream and then cry. Because I was right. Boba Fett came back and became badass.
I'm glad that we're actually taking some time to fill in the gaps between the
new movies,
the films. Like, this is the post-revolution. Like, you just gotta imagine. Like, Chuck Wendig did a really great job at, like, yeah, no, after they blew up the Death Star, the world was kind of shit. All of the worlds were kind of shit.
Yeah, but that's kind of what happens when you destroy the order of the universe.
It's
they still had a Senate.
the Senate was nothing. Palpatine was the Senate.
It's my favorite comment on the trailer. It's like, oh, the fucking Senate's back.
It's like, why, like, gangs do have to exist in the world. You can't just suddenly take out all of the gangs, because then that creates a power vacuum that causes chaos.
Yeah, look at Gotham.
Not just Gotham, look at the real world.
Yeah.
There are some countries where they eliminated all the gangs, and then that created a power vacuum that led to a revolution that destroyed the country for a long time.
Shout out to you, the royal
countries. Probably think about those things.
That's why people are like, yeah, like they assassinated that leader. Do you know what that did, though?
So what happens now? We got rid of him, though.
It's like we assassinated the dictator. Cool. You know someone's going to want to take his place, right?
The fucking Ewoks are just sitting there jamming on stormtrooper helmets still.
Yep.
Meanwhile, the Jawas are off on Tatooine.
Naboo has the statue being toppled over.
Yeah.
And Jar Jar is banished from his world.
The Gungans have disowned him.
They did.
I know.
Oh, we didn't talk about the Fast and Furious animated series.
Oh, my God.
Sorry. Just looking at Steve.
When did that come up this week?
I don't see it looked it up messages. On Netflix.
I was looking up to watch the Fast Furious again because I want to just watch them casually. And I was scrolling through the list and then like, Fast and Furious animated. Back the fuck up, what?
Yeah. Yeah, the more they fill in the gap between that span of time, the better, I feel. Especially, like, I just want to talk about the trailer again. Like, new thoughts keep popping up. I should have written this down. But, like, them going to the Death Star, it's like, oh, it created a force vacuum there. Like, you know, Palpatine's ghost is supposedly there. Or, like, maybe Snoke was a version of Palpatine. I don't know. Look, in the Timothy Zahn books, after Return of the Jedi, there's a whole story arc about Palpatine's force ghost possessing different clone bodies. And eventually trying to possess Anakin Solo. Before being banished for good. Because, like, even in the comics, they do a really great job at this, where Palpatine kind of creates dark side depots everywhere. Like, he sets up specific places.
Is that, like, related to the Home Depot? Or?
Yes. It's just where you get all of your Sith artifacts.
You can be evil. We can help.
Yeah. I'm not kidding. Like, the whole reason why Vader built his temple on Mustafar was because there was a dark side artifact that he put on somebody, and then that helmet essentially possessed them as a force ghost.
So you have, like, people walk around like black aprons and asking if you need any help, or...
Yeah, and then if they piss you off, you just kill them. And then you get the helmet and you put it on. The really fantastic sequence of... I'm sure the next building would be great. Kill... Next person comes up, then it's like a giant alien ant with the helmet on it.
Can I help you find something?
When did you patrol come up into this?
I'm trying to find the Kyber crystals. Oh, they're going to be down on aisle 14.
I'm trying to find the secrets of the dark side. Oh, this way, sir.
Oh, you're going to want to have to go to the garden section.
If you open the force door, I can get my body back. What? Yeah, that's what we're doing here.
Call the customer service on line 3. Go to Papa Palpatine.
Star Wars is so good, dude. I can't wait. Yeah, there's nothing really else about... Like I said, we didn't get to see the trailer for The Mandalorian, so we're just kind of waiting.
More to show a sizzle reel.
Yeah, it seems to be like almost like a Western in that sense. Of like, oh, he's a bounty hunter on Tatooine. Cool. One geographical location. Why is it always Tatooine?
Are there not other, like, smuggler planets?
Jakku.
There has to be, right?
Coruscant.
It's because they have the cantina.
Go somewhere else.
What
about the Mandalorian homeworld?
There's not bad guys on the Mandalorian homeworld. It's the Mandalorian homeworld.
Oh, come on. There has to be a gang or something there.
No.
How? Like, how is there not?
Because they raised a generation of super soldiers. If a gang popped up, like, yeah, we're a gang. Pop, you're dead.
Why do you think the last season of Clone Wars is the Siege of Mandalore?
Yeah, because it got overrun by fucking Darth Maul.
Yeah.
And after Darth Maul left, they had no trouble.
I'm so upset that it got taken off Netflix. Finally. I'm like...
Because Disney Plus is coming up.
You know, all the times they went to Mandalore, There was no power vacuum. It was just a team of super soldiers. Obi-Wan's love interest that ended up dying. And then eventually, you know, Darth Maul just rolls in with his gang.
But Zach, as we learned, nothing stays gone.
Coming to Disney Plus near you. See, I don't think I'm going to subscribe to Disney Plus until Clone Wars is on it. And that one doesn't have an official release date yet.
$7 a month. Didn't they always see this year?
No, even when they announced the SDCC, there was no date.
Really?
It was just like, here's our trailer. Look at how great our animation is now.
It exists. Calm down, nerds.
Ahsoka's still around, and she will continue to be around.
So you can stop asking for it and start crying.
There was a great picture from the Star Wars Celebration of Hayden Christensen and Matt Lautner together, just smiling. It's like, it's our two little Annies. And then people are like, one day Jake Lloyd will go there.
No. I think Jake Lloyd's in prison.
Psychiatric hospital now.
Cool. So he went from a criminal to cuckoo.
A little bit. I mean, like, the guy got relentlessly bullied.
Yeah,
for being
I mean,
I feel bad for him.
When you're Ray, what? How old was he when he did Phantom Menace? Like 10? And then, yeah, he had to grow up. You know, the most crucial part of his development.
He quit school because of it.
He was 5'5", Zach. 5'5" as in a high schooler. It's a tough world for short people.
I wouldn't know.
I'm average height. You guys wouldn't understand.
Are you saying that the core of his problems was because he was short?
Maybe. Short-tempered, probably.
I'm sure there were a much more like,
I'm sure
crucial
nobody
things happening during
I'm sure
all that.
Nobody ever, day-to-day, came up to him and shouted, now this is pod racing.
Yeah.
Or, are you an angel?
Poor kid. Should have skipped child Anakin. Just went straight to like teenage Anakin. We didn't need Qui-Gon that much.
Qui-Gon booze.
Fucking says you. Liam Neeson's son.
Liam Neeson's fucked everything. He's the reason this all happened.
No, Yoda's the reason everything happened.
Isn't there
much darkness in you, I sense.
Thanks.
And then told Obi-Wan, no, you can't train him. The whole council told him, nah, fuck this kid, he's evil. So when you're a little kid and you're told from day one, yeah, you're like the most evilest evil in the galaxy right now. I'm 10. And you have a Muppet tell you that? What do you think that's going to do to your development? It's going to make you feel like, yeah, I'm evil. I can embrace it.
Lightning crackles.
And then Papa Palpatine shows up and we're like, yeah, no, you're evil, but that's good.
Hey,
like, oh, I could be good.
I trust you. Let's talk about your problems, kid.
Let's talk about the Padawans right now. What about him, Papa Palpatine? They need to go.
All right. The last bit of stuff for Disney Plus coming from Newsarama. We have details for the live action shows and the first What If Marvel series. So, in a presentation, webcast to investors focused on the direct-to-consumer streaming service, including Disney+, Disney finally confirmed details about the live-action streaming series set in the MCU. Marvel President Kevin Feige announced Tom Hiddleston, Anthony Mackie, Sebastian Stan, Elizabeth Olsen, and Paul Bettany will all return to their big-screen roles in a long-form series. Loki, Falcon and Winter Soldier, and what he seemed to refer as WandaVision.
It sounds like the new type of, like, instead of 4K
new VR.
Or in, like, where there was in television or
yeah.
Things like that. It's like new WandaVision. Yeah. Like, what?
It sounds like Wakanda's new, like, product out into the world. We bring you WakandaVision.
Feige also revealed what the first episode of the original animated series based on the Marvel Comics property What If would be, describing it as, what if Peggy Carter got the powers from the Super Soldier Serum, and Steve Rogers remained his scrawny self, but was given a superpowered suit of armor designed by Howard Stark. The series will feature actors who originated the live-action roles voicing their characters. This could be what Avengers Endgame co-director Joe Russo was teasing months ago when he said that Chris Evans was not done yet playing Steve Rogers after Endgame.
I don't think he physically can, like, separate himself at this point.
No.
He is Steve Rogers.
It's like, all right, my contract's done, right? Yeah, sure, your contract for the movies is done. Now let's look at this TV contract here.
Let's talk about your Twitter.
It's like, I can leave, right? Sure, door's right there. Opens it up. Just another door.
It's a recording booth.
No, it's not true. You can't do this to me.
So, Zach, sad news. No mention was made of the reported Hawkeye series that surfaced earlier this week, and no release dates were announced. I'm really fucking jazzed for the Peggy Carter Captain America thing, though. I just think that's just such a cool character.
Shredded Peggy going beating up Nazis.
She has a little tie.
Oh my god.
I have that character in Puzzle Quest.
I wanted that character in Puzzle Quest.
One day.
Before I gave up on Puzzle Quest as a whole.
I'm on and off again. If I just need something to do for a hot minute. It kind of bums me out that we're getting a Winter Soldier Falcon series, because I guess none of them are going to be elevated to Captain America.
Or is that them, like, just bickering about it the whole time?
You know, I'm Captain America. Captain America.
I have the shield. No, I have the shield.
I have a gun. What?
Do you see this assault rifle? That's not very Captain America of you. I have the gun and the shield. What? I am Captain America.
Want to see me go skeet shooting?
Want to go falcon hunting? What?
Yeah, just them being like a bickering married couple would be amazing. And like having a Sharon Carter kind of be like their retainer. Just like she sends them on missions and is yelling them the entire
time. This is a covert op. Young Justice style. Just blows up immediately.
I wonder if WandaVision is going to be like Tom King's series. Like, it's just going to be.
Bring him in to write it.
Yeah. Because he is secretly working on TV stuff.
Maybe that was
it. I don't know if that voids, not necessarily as like DC contract, but like taking the Vision story and then adapting that. And it makes me wonder if that's why Chelsea Kane's Vision series also got canceled.
Hmm.
3 issues in without being published. It's a bummer. Makes me wonder what Loki's going to be about, though. Is it just like going to be Sex in the City? Like him just living in New York in disguise the entire time?
So it's more or less just Lucifer then at that point?
A bit. Oh, it could be like Friends. They're all chilling in the coffee shop. It's Loki and like 2 frost giants and like whatever remains of the Warriors. Korg
shows up at some point for no reason.
So no one told you Thanos would snap your neck.
It's amazing. It seems as though Disney/Marvel is starting to try and finally like up the ante too on their live action stuff, because before this we have Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Runaways, Cloak and Dagger.
Yep.
And then like there are other stuff, like the Squirrel Girl live action series got canned in favor of doing Secret Warriors animated, I think it was. And they also have that
Marvel Rising.
Yeah. They have Marvel Rising, and then they also have the animated MCU based show where they did like Secret Wars for a bit. And I was like, huh.
Yeah, and they did a Black Panther storyline.
Yeah. Look, synergy. Whereas, like, DC is just rolling around. It's like, look, yeah. Doom Patrol.
Look, whatever the fuck we want to do now. There is no continuity. Who gives a shit anymore? Just enjoy this.
What acid trip fever dream can we pull next to make a show? Gerard Way, what you got?
Dude, I'm just so glad we got the Beard Hunter. Like, that's just, like, something I never thought I would see after Animal, Vegetable, Mineral Man.
Does he actually hunt beards?
Like, in the comic, he wears a red jumpsuit, kind of like he did in that trailer, and then he just has beards around his belt.
What?
It's one of Doom Patrol's, like, silly storylines, okay. Which I think we need after The Underground. And that episode was, like, 10 minutes shorter than all the other ones, too.
Hmm.
It was only 45 minutes. But last episode, I had 55. It's going to be great. I can't wait. Everything's cool. It's a great time to be here.
Everything is awesome.
Though, it does make me wonder, like, do you think after Avengers, we're going to start seeing, like, the decline in, like, the nerd fandom, nerd pop culture?
No. They have so many movies slated that I don't think it's going to be declining. Like, they're already talking about the next untitled Avengers film.
It might dip a bit. Because I feel like Avengers is just going to be, like, the peak of, like, nothing. It's going to be very hard to top that.
I think everyone's going to need a break after Endgame. They're like, cool, my emotions hurt. Let's take a step back from these superhero movies.
It's fair. All right. Coming up next, we have the Jedi Fallen Order teaser trailer. From Respawn Entertainment, we get Jedi.
That was a very awkward pause.
Sorry.
You could tell that it's a Respawn game because in the trailer,
there's wall running. Runs,
like straight up, like Titanfall wall running. Like, oh, there's Respawn.
It seems as though
when they made that tech, they're going to use it wherever they can.
Yeah. And even though none of it's like gameplay footage, everything was rendered in engine. So we have a vague idea of what it looks like.
Everything in the trailer is in-game assets.
Yeah.
They didn't make like a specific...
Like, I mean, at this point, there's no way they could really drastically change that.
And it makes me wonder too, because it wasn't until the very end where the main character even busted out a lightsaber. Like, yeah, he's a Padawan who... Cal, I think his name is, right? He escaped Order 66 as a Padawan and has been like hiding out the entire time. And then he uses his force powers to save his mentor. Kind of like Kanan, just throwing that out there. But he's getting hunted down by the antagonist, which is the second sister from Darth Vader series. And along the way, he also fights a purge trooper from Charles Soule's Vader series also.
And Charles Soule even said that they worked very closely together on the story.
Well, it was the head of... I can't remember. The head of some department for, like, writing stories for LucasArts or Lucas that he said that he was working with Charles Soule and the story writers for the game at the same time. Like, and the ideas kind of bled into each other and Charles Soule was the first one to put out the Purge Troopers and the Second Sister, and they were also going, like, they were developed side by side with the comic and the game.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like how Alphabet Squadron is coming out, that book is coming out along with the TIE Fighter book, and then the book
you are
and
going
that
to
comic
die are gonna... on that hill, aren't you?
I just love Alphabet Squadron. Fucking, it's such a cool concept.
I hate the name, though, so much.
But what other squadron flies in A, B, U, X, Y? Come on.
They're not going to have like badass battle music if they ever make it into a show or movie. It's going to be like a jazzed up version of the ABCs.
It's going to be epic. Sorry, I just like, again, it's kind of cool that we're getting, as much as I joke around about Marvel synergy, it's really cool that we get Star Wars synergy just because nothing in Star Wars is not canon. Like Marvel,
well,
MCU.
Anymore.
Yeah.
Let me break that. Nothing in Star Wars is not canon.
If it exists with the Marvel name on it,
it's in canon.
Or with the Star Wars name on it, it is now
canon. You phrased that sentence so weird, like, with the double negative.
But Steve understood me.
Yes.
Whereas, like, you know, Marvel does Marvel comics, and then there's the MCU. Whereas Star Wars is all just one property now.
Sure.
Aside from Star Wars.
You know, which... Yeah, it's a good and bad thing, because then we get things where it's like, no, you can't do that because it has to be signed off by everything.
It's fair. But
it is one of those things where, like, all right, you're going to write a new comic series. You have to take into account everything else that has come before. Like, you want to use this character, make sure their story hasn't done this thing already.
Yeah, where, like, Jason Aaron's Star Wars run, when he, like, did an annual, like, this one rebellion spy, and then that one rebellion spy later becomes part of like the fucking badass stormtrooper unit that Kieran Gillen later uses. Mm-hmm. Or like, okay, this Padawan in Kieran Gillen's Darth Vader run is now being used in Charles Soule's Darth Vader run. Like, there's a really cool like overlapping of ideas,
and that's like the guy who was at the panel, that's what his whole department is about, is kind of keeping
the canon lore keepers.
Like, looking through everything.
And, yeah, I was going to say, they have an actual title.
Yeah, like, looking through everything and being like, character X went and did this and this. So if you want to use them in the comic, you have to keep those events in mind.
Can't imagine how many applications they get for that job.
I just can't imagine how stressful that job is, too. Like,
especially with
you
nerds
have,
like
you. You have a wall of red string connecting everything.
And blocks of like, all right, this person died here, so we can't use this here, that here. But wait, did this person do that? Fuck.
Where did Dr. Aphra go?
Wait, what do you mean you let Vader ride a unicorn? Son of a bitch!
When did this happen?
Tear down the whole wall.
Karen Gillis is giggling in the corner.
What do you mean Vader told more dad jokes? This isn't Rogue One.
Palpatine did what to make Anakin?
Can't believe
Son
that.
Of a bitch, soul.
I can't believe that got signed off. Like, that was such a cool thing where Vader walks in through the Force doors. So cool. Or, you know, the helmet in the Lando series is the ultimate, like, MacGuffin in the Vader series. And it's just like, oh.
Man, that was someone's job to, like, watch that helmet of, like all right, it's in that panel. Use? It's in that panel. All right, it's doing that. It's doing that. All right. You can use it this way. Go.
Or,
would you want to be like the Porg lore master?
This Porg's name is Fred.
It's like, but what if you were to make Porgs like this ancient battle race?
I'm still waiting for a Porg Jedi, you know, just throwing that out there still.
Just the three Porgs that were messing with Anakin's lightsaber combined to hold one lightsaber. Three Porgs in a trench coat.
One of my coworkers really hates Porg a lot, and he knows my utter fascination behind them, and he's just like, what Porg thing do you not own yet? And like, my first response, underwear. Have you tried looking for it? No, not really. I went to Hot Topic and bought socks.
I do know one thing of Porg you don't own. It's the one where it's the Porg and then the baby Porgs that they sell at Target.
I know, I keep looking at it. I'm like, no, that's I already have like one stuffed one.
But you could have three.
I know. The baby Porgs look like hairy chicken nuggets, though.
Porg itself looks like a giant hairy chicken nugget.
Yeah.
Why do you think Chewie wanted to eat it?
Like, I really wish I can get another giant Porg Funko. You know they're releasing a Bulbasaur one? Like a 10-inch one?
Like the giant Pikachu one?
Yeah.
God, if they release all 150 and they do giant versions of them.
Lord.
You're going to get a whole house for them.
Yeah. Look, it's 151. What? The Johto line got released? No.
Pokemon Johto.
So back to Fallen Order. Lord. It does look like it has like a big stealth element to it too. Just because with the wall running and then even the lightsaber that Cal gets, it if you look at it, it's like, okay, there's the lightsaber end, but the other half has like dangling wires. So some people are like speculating.
It looks more like a broken staff and dangling wires. Like, kind of like Darth Maul-ish lightsaber, but like someone had it on a staff, which they didn't reveal any information because apparently the background of the lightsaber is super spoilerish for the game.
Yeah, one of the...
But it will evolve over time.
One of the writers for Rebels also worked on the game. So when they went to the temple on Lothal, the same like ancient text is seen as the same poster for the lightsaber. So people are like, well... Oh, he could do like silent takedowns, like the dangling wires or something. It's like he can stun people instead of like just stabbing them in the throat. Or like in Assassin's Creed where you just murder someone's dick. Look, I saw you play that game.
Yes. Yeah. You do abuse the crotchial region a lot.
With silent takedown. You just take an axe and just wham it into someone's dick.
Well, no, you take your little knife, you tackle them, you flip them up, go right into the grundle, and, you know, just the pure pain of being stabbed right in the dick is enough to kill the man. I don't want to die after that. It's like, God, take me now.
That's where we are. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see, like, essentially what would be like EA's answer to Assassin's Creed at this point.
And of course everyone's just waiting. It's like, oh, how's EA gonna fuck this one up?
Everyone's like, single player only. Respawn came out straight up. Yeah, single player, like, no microtransactions.
No multiplayer, like it's just a single player story-based experience.
It's like, guys, granted Apex has server problems, but the game itself is fine.
Right, and at the same time, it's Respawn. Titanfall was good, Titanfall 2 was great.
Titanfall 2 had a good story.
Yeah. Had a great story with great story mechanics.
No one played the game.
I did.
I mean, the majority of people didn't play the game.
They kind of shafted themselves by... They're like, yeah, no, we're going to put ourselves right after Battlefield. It's like,
Was it before? After Call of Duty, right before Battlefield.
It's like, I get that you're confident, but you sure you want to do that, champ? You sure? They did not pan out well for them. It all worked out.
They got Star Wars game.
They're doing great now.
It looks awesome.
So in the 10-year contract that Disney has,
this might be the first win.
They've produced three games.
Breaks my heart. Which have not panned out great for them.
This could be it. This could be it.
I need to buy Battlefront 2 or just like play on your Xbox again.
Yeah, I can just log on to yours because apparently they changed the how sharing games works.
Yeah, I download my games to your Xbox by accident.
Suddenly, like over Black Friday, when I'm sitting there, and suddenly Final Fantasy 15 Pocket Edition download. Like, all right, John wouldn't buy that. Life is Strange Before the Storm complete season. John might buy that, but and then you come down. Yeah, I just bought Final Fantasy 15 Pocket Edition. But
they just added DLC. I think it's free. But they added the old school Battlefront 2 game types. So Conquest is back in the space battle. That version of the space battle is back. And I'm just like...
And the Clone Wars expansion is coming soon.
It's already out, I think.
Is it?
Yeah. But it's just such extreme nostalgia for the prequel series and Battlefront 2.
Meanwhile, Battlefront 2 is free on Xbox Gold.
I need to leave.
Oh, I already downloaded it. First day I saw it, I'm like, beep.
The server's even up on the game anymore?
Maybe. They might have just let a did server run have in the servers? Corner.
Yeah, they did.
Did they? I ever played it by myself.
I only ever played it on PlayStation 2.
I played it on an original Xbox.
I think I played it on a PSP.
PS2, where I didn't have the network adapter, because let's be real, who had the network adapter for a PlayStation 2?
My friend did. He played Guilty Gear Online.
It's like how they also had the network adapter for a GameCube, and it's like, who would ever buy that? And like, who actually bought the network adapter?
What game supported that? Especially GameCube.
Pokemon.
Did it?
I don't know.
There were
my shot in the dark.
I think there was one for GameCube, but...
Do you think Nintendo is finally happy that they realized the dream? Like, the GameCube had the stupid handle on it, so you can bring it to a friend's house, and now the Switch exists.
It wasn't stupid. It was intuitive.
Innovative.
Innovative, that too.
Ingenuitive.
So Jedi Fallen Order looks great. We get a Padawan running away from Inquisitors.
There's also, it's not on the list, but a new Star Wars VR game.
Oh, yeah, the Vader one?
Yes. Where someone played it, and they said they jumped like 3 times while playing it. Because it's you trying to escape a either the Death Star or like a Super Star Destroyer. So you're running, you have to get through stormtroopers, and then like Vader can just appear in like any dark corner.
Oh, it's like Mr. X in Resident Evil.
Pretty much, but with Darth Vader.
Biggest fucking thing too. So in that trailer, there's green clone troopers, not stormtroopers. So it's the 41st Legion who are stationed on Kashyyyk. So it makes me wonder if we're going to see Luminara come back. Because like in Rebels, she gets canonically killed by Vader. And like she gets captured by stormtroopers, and that leads Ezra and Kanan and all of them to go off on an adventure. So I wonder if we do get to see old faces. Like that's a really big, like again, it's those nostalgia bombs.
It does depend on how long after 66 it is.
Yeah. And a lot of people are also kind of like, or like, oh, maybe this, because like I said, there was a writer from Rebels on that team. So maybe this is where we do get that scene of Luminara being captured and killed with Cal trying to like rescue her. And then later this kind of leads to Ezra and all of them trying to rescue her also.
Do you think they have to face off with Darth Vader at some point? Or
I don't know. That would be a great finale to the game, I feel like. Just kind of like how Force Unleashed 2 was you versus Vader or you versus Palpatine.
Right.
And you versus yourself. Do we get to go into a dark side cave?
But which dark side cave? Do we get to go to Dagobah?
Do we get to hear Yoda?
Just walk by Yoda's hut and be like, cave's that way. I'm waiting for someone. It's like, all right, nice seeing you.
But Zach, do you know why dark side caves exist?
They're dark side force pockets.
Well, do you know why?
No.
Because a Sith Lord died there. And then that's why Yoda camped out on Dagobah, because it cloaked his force signature.
And probably why Luke camped out where he did. Because there was a dark side cave.
Interesting.
Octo is just a big point for the Force because of the dark side cave.
And blue milk.
And Porg. Do you think Porgs are dark side users? Like they shoot lightning from their teeth?
Sure. Why not? Anything to make you happy, champ.
Thanks. All right. Next up, Laura Bailey wraps up on The Last of Us 2.
Darth Porgius.
Lots of tears from what I've heard. Do you want to talk about this one?
Yeah, so this I put this on here because it Last of Us 2 may be closer than we think. Because Laura Bailey rapped on her VO or her motion capture stuff this week. So it's like, all right, that's a pretty big character. It seems like Ashley Johnson may be close, if not nearly done. So it's like, all right, we got one of the biggest characters, which everyone's saying that she's going to be Ellie's mom from what we kind of like gazed from like the first couple trailers. So yeah, maybe it's an early 2020 release and not a like PlayStation 5 release only. Like, yeah, I just mostly put this on here. It's like, all right, it seems like they're getting closer than we actually think. Because, I mean, motion capture is a big part of that game, especially.
Right.
Usually they have the models done by then.
Yeah. The fuck is and that?
It's the milk cow from Last Jedi cosplay.
No.
Sorry.
That's disgusting.
No.
But usually mocap's one of the later things because they have the models done. And they have the VO done.
And the writing done as well.
Yeah, because they have to actually like make sure the lines fit with mocap. And
I actually think for Last of Us, they pretty much just do live performance capture. They don't do like separate VO from the like acting
scenes. Right, but they usually have the script done so that they can do the lines. And usually they will have the VO partially done because like there's the thing that came out after Last of One of like he improv some of the lines like the singing scene
where they're just messing around, it's like
they already had like the script done, and so if she's on with her mocap, chances are she's already done her VO also.
Yeah,
like they might have to have her come in for pickups, but
maybe
it's
probably closer along.
We got bigger chunks done than.
Again, I find it weird that everyone's like convinced that these games are gonna be like another Final Fantasy 15 where they take 10 years to complete. It's like unless
they scrap it three times.
Which no, they're not gonna do that. Yeah. They're gonna get this done in a decent time frame. Like it's what probably gonna they probably didn't even start working on it immediately after Last of Us Part 1. It's probably
well, no, because they probably went directly on to Uncharted 4. And,
yeah, I mean they've probably only been working on it for like 3 or 4 years, so. Like, yeah, it's probably close to being done.
It's like how Borderlands 3, everyone thought that was going to be a long ways out. It's like, nah, it's September because we've been working on it for 5 years and haven't told anybody.
Yeah.
It's kind of like just, it makes you wonder too, like, this is Naughty Dog's, like, big thing. What's next? Do you think, you know?
Did they do a part 3 or did just part 1, part 2 be done?
Yeah.
The trilogy.
Not everything needs to be a trilogy.
Not everything needs to, like, you know.
Not everything needs a sequel.
I think there's going to be a beautiful thing. Like, because we still haven't seen anything of Joel in any of those trailers.
We've seen, like, the back of his head.
And Troy Baker has been, like, super tight-lipped about everything. Like, he probably has, like, 300 NDAs or something. Yeah. But, like.
He probably has, like, the most NDA of any NDA ever made.
Yeah.
Of, like. Yeah, no, we have assassins ready to take you out at any moment if you even try to start talking about
like,
the game.
Especially
Neil
with
Druckmann's
like,
just like, I'm watching you, Troy.
Especially with like how anything. Good of friends like Troy Baker is with people from Rooster Teeth or Neil Druckmann with like the Kind of Funny guys. Like, man, I'm surprised that nothing from this game has been leaked in the slightest. It's kind of crazy.
I bet they don't let anyone in.
Yeah. Well, going back to Star Wars. Did you guys hear about how the Rebels epilogue, like the last 2 minutes of Sabine narrating?
Sure.
That was not available anywhere. Literally, Dave Filoni got off a plane. They wrapped the final scene with Ezra and Thrawn going off into space. And then Dave Filoni makes everyone leave except one sound engineer and Sabine's voice actor. And it's like, there's one more scene we need to film. And he pulls out his notebook, gives it to her. She starts bawling.
Oh my God.
And then they record the final scene. And then the cast all gets together for dinner. And all the cast is like, hey, you doing okay? It's like, yeah, I'm fine. Yeah. I'm fine. Everything's cool. And then like months later, when they see the finale in a theater, no one knew that entire sequence existed. And Dave Filoni's just sitting there like smiling. And then Sabine's voice actor is sitting there crying like whoever plays Hera had no idea she had a son in that epilogue until that moment showed up, or like some of the other stuff, like Sabine and Ahsoka going off to go find Ezra.
Filoni.
It's just so crazy how some of these things are like such tight secrets.
Yeah. And I'm curious of like, since if Laura Bailey is playing Ellie's mom, then like Ellie and her never are going to, are probably never going to interact. Well, at least what you would think.
Not until the last moment.
So it's probably. Like, how many like story points do you, does Ashley Johnson see later of like, holy shit.
Yeah.
What the fuck, man?
I'll say moments that they've seen that, because it's like with
Tom Holland.
Yeah, Avengers.
Yeah.
Tom Holland.
Not allowed.
Literally to, only got to, his lines. Nothing else.
Yeah, we know he can't tell him jack shit.
He doesn't even know he's fighting half the time.
It's like, who am I talking to this scene? You don't need to know that. You just need to know you're talking. It's like, all right, this is Mr. Saxon. I'm obviously talking to Iron Man. Like,
are you?
Are you? Or maybe talking to nothing and just wanting to talk to him.
Well, it's crazy too. Just like all of the secret development, like even Kingdom Hearts 3. I'm surprised none of that ever got leaked.
And
it's
until the long very development end, like cycle. Right before it released.
Yeah. But even then, it's not like any of the major story points.
Stole a copy and went to jail because of it.
Sweet.
And that was kind of a thing to anyone else who like bought a copy from him of like, if you say anything, you can also go to jail.
Can I play this offline? No, it needs a good update.
Yeah. It's like, it needs an update for everything. So try playing it offline. I dare you.
God we'll forbid see. Developers get paid for all the fucking work they did.
How dare they?
Go fuck yourselves, pirators.
Yeah.
Especially all the butthurt people like, I'm going to pirate Borderlands 3 because it's on Epic Store. Go fuck yourself.
So if you're that gung-ho about buying it on Steam, you can fucking wait 6 months. It's people like you that some companies go out of business because their game doesn't get purchased.
Doesn't do it well
because
enough.
People pirate it.
Did you see Jim Zub talking about Champions?
No. Champion.
Like, issue 4 just came out recently. He's like, issue 4 came out today. There have been 100,000 views and downloads on this one specific website.
Jesus.
And it's just like, it'd be really cool if people bought the comic book.
I was going to say, that's $400,000 that could be going to comic shops in the comic industry. And
yeah. Mm-hmm. Especially with something like as beloved as Champions with all these legacy characters, like you want this to succeed. You know, I feel guilty for not going to my comic shop on Wednesday. And John, who runs Hall of Justice Comics, located in Parker, Colorado, did a Final Crisis sale. Did you guys see this?
No. I saw it. Yeah, where he was going through abandoned poles and
just selling stuff. Wow. Some stuff at cover value if it was recent issues, but then it's like, this guy hasn't picked up his pole in months. We're selling it. Here's some issue ones of Rebirth. And it's just like
issue ones that have been selling for fuckloads. It's like, you can buy it right now because this guy didn't come pick up his pole.
Yeah. And like I said, I feel guilty for not going on Wednesday.
I feel guilty for waiting an extra week to wait till payday. Because like I was there and I can't remember who was at the counter, but he was there with 7. Like, it's like, oh, is that it? Are you sure? That seems pretty weak. You got to get more. And John's kind of like, I mean, I could always wait a couple weeks, add more to my poll. And John's like, please don't.
Yeah.
It's like, I wouldn't. I'm sorry. It was a joke.
There is one day I went in too where it's like, I see people that I haven't seen since the whole old shop. I'm like, oh my God, I haven't seen you guys. Like, the last conversation we had was your wedding. Did you get married? No, we just haven't been in the store. And it's like, wow, how long has it been? And it's like, here, let's look. You haven't been here since Super Sons issue 12 came out. Like, the original Super Sons storyline. It's like, damn. Jeez. It's like months. Anyways. Yeah, don't pirate shit. Fuck you.
Support the industry.
You want these things.
My favorite thing is, you know, if you like a game, buy the microtransaction. If you have hundreds of hours on a free game, that's why I buy stuff on Siege. I didn't even buy Siege. I've spent the equivalent of the game buying season passes in a couple boxes here and there.
Still surprised you haven't bought Twitch yet.
I'd have to buy like 2 different things of silver to get the equivalent.
No, you don't. You need to buy like 1.
No, because I have like an odd amount. So if I would have to buy 2 sets or like 1 and then have like extra silver left over for something else. And then I know I'm going to spend that silver. It's just like, God, it's terrible.
Ridiculous.
Alrighty. For fun, Mass Effect 2's black hole was pretty damn close. Zach, yes. Go.
So, of course, you saw NASA got an image of a black hole
the
this
first
week.
Ever first ever image of a black hole,
and
which goes to show you that people like artist renderings or like the scientific renderings were kind of off.
Yeah,
because it's always been just like a black mass. That's it. Like, mm-hmm. But and it's fascinating that the red ring around it is light being sucked in and destroyed by the black hole.
And it just goes to show how much of our world and universe we don't actually know about. Yeah. It's frightening.
But yeah, so for fun, if you, whoever played Mass Effect 2, you remember the suicide mission. You go into a dimension, or not dimension, a different part of the galaxy where there is a black hole in the background. And it's actually pretty freaking close to what an actual black hole looks like, if you can see this.
Oh, cool.
So it's like, oh, nice job, BioWare. Good like guess there of like how this might look.
My what gets me is there are people on the internet who are complaining about the picture.
It's not a high res enough image.
It's like it's not that great of a picture. It's not that great of quality. Like,
I'm sorry. What the fuck did you expect?
We took a picture of a entity that absorbs light and any matter and destroys it on a molecular level.
Do you know what you kind of need
and
to get an image?
It's now the seasonal waifu.
It. Like they showed a picture of all the hard drives it took for that information.
Oh yeah,
it was like 20 hard drives that someone just had their hand on.
I think it was terabytes of information
to process one picture. One picture on a different side of the galaxy, of a different side of the universe.
It's pretty epic.
And you're gonna complain that it's not a 4K image?
And get just want to take a gander. What do you need to make a freaking photo? Take a photograph. Light. I'm sorry that something that absorbs light took this hard long to get an image.
My first thought when I saw that was like, all right, you take a camera, you get nice and close to it, and you take a picture of it.
Yeah. Have you ever tried to just point your camera, your phone up to take a picture at night? You can't see shit.
Fun fact: if you try and get close, you'll get sucked into the singularity. Like, the fact that we have that picture at all is a modern miracle.
Space is really cool.
Space is cool, dudes.
But magnets, man, how do they work?
No, there's been a lot of really cool science stuff this week. Like, there's the black hole. I think on Thursday they might have discovered another species of human in the Philippines.
What?
Yeah. It's crazy. Fuck. And they're only delineating it as a different species just because, like, the bone structure and the teeth structure.
Whoa.
Yeah. And it's, like, 6 million years old or something crazy. Not 6 million, but, like, it's really fucking old.
Fascinating.
Yeah. I love science. If I didn't hate biology, I would totally have been a science teacher. Sorry. Next up on the list, we get some comic news, which... I need to pull up because I closed my phone by accident. Lois Lane Jimmy Olsen spinoff is coming. This was a long rumored thing from Bleeding Cool this summer. But these two spinoff limited series will land this summer, focusing on the respective characters. First up, writer Greg Rucka and artist Mike Perkins will create Lois Lane based on the iconic Daily Planet reporter who Rucka calls the best investigative reporter in the DC universe. This is our truth, and this is what the book is about. Lois is often described as fearless, but that's a mistake because it implies that nothing frightens her. There's plenty that frightens her. The difference is that it never stops her. She was like that before Superman entered her life, and so she remains. Lois chooses to believe in her own abilities, her own prowess to solve those problems that may seem unsurmountable. Lois is after the truth, no matter what side of the political divide her person of interest stands on. That's some pretty potent, powerful attributes for a portrayal of integrity in the days of fake news. And this is also coming off of the Leviathan story arc that Bendis is running in the Superman comics. Meanwhile, writer Matt Fraction and artist Steve Lieber will launch Superman's Pal, Jimmy Olsen, which focuses on Jimmy's work as a Daily Planet vlogger and the trouble he causes. Jimmy's videos are basically the only thing keeping the lights on in the Daily Planet anymore. They have to let him keep doing his thing because it's the only thing that pays the bills. However, Fraction added that Jimmy's work is also really expensive for the newspaper thanks to the Daily Planet's fiscal responsibility for the damage Jimmy's schemes cause. I think there's a lot of storytelling power in the juxtaposition juxtaposition of the ordinary and the extraordinary, and Jimmy's all about that, says Steve Lieber. It's a chance to be funny in a world full of much larger than life characters. Both the series had a Silver Age classic, and especially with Jimmy Olsen's or Superman's pal Jimmy Olsen playing a key role in Jack Kirby's Fourth World Saga. The creative teams will debut their takes on the characters in May, Superman, Leviathan, Rising Special, and then each series will be running 12 issues apiece. I'm really interested in Lois Lane, just because I love Rucka and how much he really elevates all of the characters that he writes. And the Event Leviathan storyline is going to be really interesting because it's literally about the world's greatest detectives. So it's Batman, Green Arrow, The Question, The Second Manhunter, and then Kate Spencer. And I'm just like, holy shit, two super C-list characters that haven't seen any spotlight in a while. And then you're also, oh, and Plastic Man. Okay. So it's really cool that we get, you know, Batman, world's greatest detective, teaming up with these five other characters. And it gives me life that Plastic Man is in his Terrifics costume still. But, you know, and Steve, this might go to you a bit. I still don't see Green Arrow that much as, like, the hardcore detective.
Not really. He's more of,
like, shit happens to me.
The man of the people. Like, he's smart, but I wouldn't say he's, like, I'm a detective smart.
It is really cool to see, like, Brian Michael Bendis actually classify Lois Lane as one of the world's most brilliant detectives too, because it's just like that extra step that elevates her character too.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, Matt Fraction possibly killing Jimmy Olsen at the end. That solicit just screamed Matt Fraction, yes, writing
very much.
But it's so, again, we're finally at the point where Brian Michael Bendis is bringing all of his friends with him. What we need now is Kieran Gillen writing a DC book. It's my last like hope. And like,
has he done DC before?
I don't know. He's been at Marvel for so long. Next up on the comics, Marvel announces their summer event, Acts of Evil, to impact Marvel this July. Editors Alana Smith, Chris Robinson, Danny Kazem, and Kathleen Wisniewski all share an image which features the logo, call to mind of the 1989-90 crossover Acts of Vengeance, in which the Marvel's iconic villains traded heroic enemies, ambushing each other's rivals in a devastating attack. This image could also indicate a potential connection to the ongoing War of the Realms, which will be going through July. And it's also a note that Acts of Evil, whatever it is, will also overlap with DC's villain-centric Year of the Villains storyline that is also going to run this summer. Didn't we get Convergence and Secret Wars at the same time, too? Like, yes. Do you just think, like, what's DC doing? Shit. Fuck.
We gotta do something, too.
We gotta do it, too. What can we do? Acts of Evil. What's that? Thing of Vengeance. Okay, so Green Goblin's gonna go attack Iron Man. Got it. I'm curious to see what it is, and I really hope it doesn't affect some of my comics, a.k.a. Spider-Man. Miles Morales, Spider-Man. Yeah. That's all I got.
I got Champions and Iron Man.
Miss Marvel.
Yeah. Did you pick up the new series?
Mm-hmm.
How is it?
Pretty good so far.
Nice. I love Silent in a Man.
It got deep, like, super quick. Like, oh, yeah, this is a fun little adventure. Oh, God, what's happening?
Well, it's like how in Champions, like, issue 3, they're dealing with white supremacists, and I'm like, oh, we're going 0-60, huh?
Or yeah. How Miles
Kamala's essentially
traded
having,
lives.
Kamala's having like an existential crisis already.
That's what Saladin Men does. Like, man, did you eat?
Where is
Black Bolt?
I don't think issue 2's out yet. Feels like it's been longer
issue
than a month.
Issue 2 came out this week.
Did it?
I think so.
I'll have to check my list. I didn't see it pop up.
Mm. Or it's coming out this week. Maybe. One of the two. It's not like Doomsday
Clock. It's been a while, but
looking at you, issue 10. One day.
I forget that series exists sometimes.
It'll take a year, and then everything will be caught up. What, we're going 2 years now?
Dude, I'm so happy. I saw the July solicits, and I'm like, oh, cool. Nightwing Rick Grey might finally end, because the Court of Owls is going to come
in. Oh, good.
Everyone's hope.
And Wictive ends in July.
Oh, God, don't remind me.
The solicitor is, yep, that's it. Thanks for reading. We're done.
Gillen. Well, did you see their images releasing a compendium?
Yeah.
First
saga.
Yeah.
For, like, what, 10 volumes?
Yeah, 54 issues. And Fiona Staples is like, yep, half the series. And people are like, what do you mean saga's going to end at issue 108? And it's like, it's not going to go forever.
It's got to end.
It's a very long run still.
And, you know, Image just doing the Image thing. It's like, yeah, it'll just come out whenever it wants. Looking at you, Black Monday Murders. Issue 12 will
happen. It's coming back, right?
Issue 9?
10, 11, 12 is what we're missing.
Is it?
The last three.
I don't remember.
It's the last three issues.
Hickman. So, Acts of Evil looks interesting.
I'm convinced that Hickman just, like, ran off into the woods somewhere and just hid. He was at the cabin with Tom Taylor.
He went to the cabin. He was the ghost.
New body, who's this? New corporal form, who's this?
Who dis?
You know, it makes me wonder, too, like, did Tom Taylor invent his own kind of creepypasta?
Maybe.
With this?
I don't know. Some of those videos, I'm like, I don't think you could make this stuff up if you're by yourself.
Yeah. Did you see Adam Ellis? Not Gilby. But the Adam Ellis who made the Dear David thing on Twitter. He's a BuzzFeed writer. He's also going to be at a Denver Pop Culture Con.
I saw it.
Like, oh, when yeah, when yeah, I
first
yeah.
saw it pop up, like, Adam Ellis is going to be a, like, Gilby? Clicked on the picture. That's not Gilby.
All right. And the biggest news, the most important news, other than Star Wars, I was literally putting it on when I saw you type it, is DC's Young Fucking Animal is returning with the new Doom Patrol comic, book series, and more.
Just to be clear, it's just Young Animal. Fucking isn't going to actually be in the title.
Look, man, every week I have to sit here and stare down this Young Animal record. Remember my friendship with a friend that doesn't exist anymore because I didn't go to a Christmas party, and then just realize that Young Animal has been over for a few months.
You didn't miss much at the Christmas party.
I know I didn't.
You missed a nightmare. I didn't get home until like midnight and then had to work the next morning.
So,
and then they never talked to me again after that day. I tried. I made an effort.
So the first incarnation of DC's Young Animal, the first DC's pop-up imprint, similar to both Warren Ellis' Wildstorm and Brian Michael Bendis' Wonder Comics, debuted and launched in 2016 with Gerard Way writing a relaunch of Doom Patrol. That series, now retitled Doom Patrol, Weight of the Worlds, and now created with co-writer Jeremy Lambert, so it might come out on time, and a host of artists including James Harvey, Doc Shaner, and Becky Cloonan. I love everything about that.
Awesome.
Will return to anchor the new incarnation of the line, accompanied by two all-new titles, Collapser and Far Sector. So the article is mainly just an interview with Way. So he was talking about how Young Animal for him has been a pop-up imprint, and it's popped up and popped up. And it's not going to be done putting series out, but it's never stopped. He's talking about how he was writing Doom Patrol consistently since the last wave. And with Young Umbrella Academy being in his life, he's writing two books at all times. So the idea this time with Doom Patrol was to stock up a bunch of issues so that way we don't run into any issues we had last time with issues running extremely late and things like that.
Would you say Young Animal never stops stopping?
I would believe so.
Never stops, never stopping.
And it's great because, like I said, Young Animal had, like, a ton of delays. Like, issue 11 that was supposed to set up Milk Wars came out after all of Milk Wars was done. And then issue 12 was just, like, a D&D adventure. And I'm like, that also tied into Milk Wars.
Like, what? What's going on here? Like,
and it's kind of sad. Like,
why did you let this happen?
Nick Darrington did leave the series to go work on the Batman comic with Brian Michael Bendis for those Walmart issues. And he was like, I just couldn't wait anymore. And, you know, I got a huge opportunity to do Batman with Brian Michael Bendis. So this wave is considered to be the phase three of Young Animal 2. And this particular thing is just to have a lot of fun, according to Gerard Way. He said he's expanded to go beyond just comic book creators. That's they got N.K. Jemisin, who's an extremely accomplished science fiction writer or author, and she's amazing. And Gerard Way asked her to do a Green Lantern story, which is Far Sector, with artist Jamal Campbell, which is gonna be fucking pretty.
He did the covers for Power Rangers.
Yeah,
I got his signature.
He also does all the interior art for Naomi Brian Michael Bendis's Wonder Comic series, it's pretty. And Bendis even said after issue 7, Naomi is going to take a break, and then Jamal Campbell is going to move on to something else. Now we know what that something else is. He's also talked about how all of Young Animal tells stories that are really personal and individual stories that stand outside of the superhero norm. And Wei was talking about how Far Sector is, you know, this Green Lantern literally in the corner of the universe. And he mentioned that he really wanted Nora to talk about herself and get her message out, but explores authority in a way that Wei has not seen it explored before as it relates to a superhero with authority on a planet that never had a murder before.
Yay, murder.
The second new comic, Collapser, is written by his brother Mikey Wei, who also played in My Chemical Romance. God, I just need to buy these books and go like, emo kids, look, Gerard Way lives.
No, because you could say Gerard Way lives and they won't know who you're talking about. Thanks, fucking internet. Umbrella Academy is great, but who is Gerard Way? Who the fuck is Gerard Way?
Yeah, I heard he was in a band. I went and listened to it. It's not that great.
When he was a young boy. How fucking
dare you? He was the savior.
So...
of the broken, the beaten, took him and the to damned. The city.
In my emo family photo I took at school, that student now listens to. So I asked her, I'm like, what music do you listen to? Like, I know you said you weren't super big into music, but now you are. She's like, I listen to My Chemical Romance. And I'm like, you realize that band hasn't been around since like 2009, right?
I remember when their final album released.
And I'm like, when were you born? Sad. 2007. You were 2 when they broke up. And to break the news to someone that My Chemical Romance isn't around is one of the funniest things to me. It's terrible. So Collapser is going to be written by Mikey Wei, illustrated by Ilias Kriazis. And it's the entire series is about a man who gets a black hole delivered to him in the mail, and it takes residence inside of his chest. Nice.
That sounds fucking awesome.
Yeah, and with all the other Young Animal stories, it's kind of using the metaphor of superheroes to find a way to address with everyday struggles. Like, Eternity Girl was a story about depression and the main character wanting to kill herself, but she didn't know how, and kind of like that self-destructive.
She was immortal, too, wasn't she?
Yeah.
So she literally couldn't.
Yep. I'm just really glad that Young Animal is coming back. I'm a little bummed that we're not seeing the return of like Shade or,
yet.
Yeah. Yes. Shade's not coming back. Cave Carson's not coming back. And those were the only two that I really kept up with. Sorry. Gotham AD. And there were 2 other books.
See, I never even heard of those ones.
Forager was also there. That was by, it wasn't Nick Darrington. I can't remember. Who did the art, and Gerard Way also wrote that one. No, not Gotham AD, Mother Panic.
Ah, yeah.
And the second series was Gotham AD.
I read the first couple of Mother Panic, and it was interesting, but
yeah,
not enough to snag me.
Yeah, I really do enjoy it too, just like with Gerard Way and Steve Orlando working on Milk Wars, there's like a lot of opportunities to be... different. Like, even though the book is considered to be kind of like in continuity, the best way Gerard Way describes Young Animal is that if you have the multiverse map, it's the coffee stain in the corner, like someone spilled something and that's their universe.
Oh shit. Oh god. What's that, Young Animal? That's weird.
Yeah, so I'm glad DC's still taking chances too, especially with, I think they're looking over at like, okay, Doom Patrol was really successful. Let Gerard Way continue his story, even though his incarnation of Doom Patrol is more about Sam and Casey rather than, you know, the world's weirdest superhero family. But we're getting closer to that. And even you asked, it's like, do I have to read the previous series to understand this? Like, you could probably start with the Gerard Way, like issue 1, and then just roll with it.
Oh, God.
You don't have to read Grant Morrison stuff, even though that's...
No, that's what I was asking. Can I just jump into the new series?
Yeah. Like this one?
Yes. The one that is coming out. Do I need context of everything else that happened?
You might need to read Milk Wars.
Okay.
Just to understand, like, why Cliff has a body. Why
Wonder Woman's breastfeeding a vacuum.
Do I need to know that?
I can't.
I still need to know that.
You were with me.
Right. You've explained it to me, but it still doesn't make sense.
We were talking to the author.
still doesn't make... No, you talked to Arthur, then you came and told me what they told you.
Yeah.
You telephoned him.
Yeah. It's a great series.
Still confusing to me.
Everyone should read Shade. It's my favorite. All right. So that's Young Animal. I can't wait to check out all the new issue ones. Especially like Collapser and Far Sector.
I'll say, I think I might have to check out Collapser.
I just really like, crap, what was it? For freaking Doom Patrol, they go to planet, essentially like a fitness planet, and they have to run a marathon. And I'm like, yes, it's me.
Protein.
Protein. All right. That's all for our news and talking segments. You guys have anything else? Would you guys like to recommend anything?
Why did you say it like that?
I don't know. I have like some sugar-free Red Bull in the back of my throat.
Because I haven't really seen or done anything new.
Try to think of
just new, grinding through Sekiro.
New Fruits Basket came out. Go watch that.
Oh yeah,
it's great. And
Megan Shipman's a background character.
Yeah.
Laura Bailey's back.
Almost everyone's back, and it's great and adorable, and I love it. Just anime in general. There's a lot coming out this season that looks good.
I've been in the mountains all week. I don't know what happened.
Anime.
I'm halfway through Kaguya. I need to finish that.
I finished a young adult book.
Yay.
It's 5 feet apart. It's basically The Fault in Our Stars, but instead of cancer, they have cystic fibrosis.
That's the movie that's coming out.
It already came out.
Yeah, that has Cole Sprouse in it.
My fucking student.
Why is that a trend?
But do you know why it's called 5 feet apart?
Because they put their graves 5 feet apart?
No, because people with cystic fibrosis can't get within 6 feet of each other.
So they decide.
Otherwise their germs will cross-contaminate.
Oh, that's neat.
So kill each other.
So they decide.
They're going to push the envelope and start by going 5 feet
Cystic fibrosis took everything else from them. So why not go 5 feet apart?
And why not take a foot from cystic fibrosis?
Yeah.
That's why it's called 5 feet apart.
And they have a little
cool stick cube. 5 feet and... 5 feet.
Are you That's in? Just depressing. Why, is, this really, a, why so is it a romance
I even
story?
Asked my student, like one of my eighth graders, I'm like, so you watched the movie, right? She's like, yeah, the story is trash and it's just really sad the entire time. But it's good, I think. I'm like, but you just said the story is trash. She's like, yeah, I liked it, I think. I'm like, okay.
So my it's student, Riverdale, but cystic fibrosis.
My student, like, I was like, oh yeah, someone asked me, how far are you? I'm like, yeah, I just met this character. And then someone else that was, like, eavesdropping is like, yeah, that character died. I'm like, I legitimately, like, stood up and slammed my hands on the table. Did you just spoil the book for me? And he's like, no, it's not that important. It's a 290-page book. That character death happened on page 218. I was only 20 pages in. And it was very important to the book because it triggers some character development. It was interesting, though.
Did you powerbomb that little shit through a table? For ruining it.
They also, like, when we were serving dinner, he was grabbing seconds before I even had, like, any food on my plate. And I'm like, I legitimately hate you right now. I do not
Yeah, the
like
phrase,
you.
Oh, it's not that important. I'm like, that just makes it worse. Because so now, I'm not even going to care about it.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, Timmy's in this scene. Guess I don't care about Timmy.
Yeah, I can't believe Timmy died. What?
It's not that important. 10 pages later, he's the hero of the world. And you're like, oh, so Timmy's pretty fucking important. His death will cause the apocalypse, huh? That's pretty important.
Just gotta summon the recreator.
Yep.
Find the pug.
All right. I think that brings everything to a nice close. It's a very ADD episode.
Yes. Very you sent. It was like all your.
It was just Star Wars the entire time. I held back. I didn't rant nearly as much.
There was not a single prequel meme either.
You were the one that did it.
I know. I was the one who did it.
It's okay. Next week, it'll be Game of Thrones.
I'll just sit dead staring at my young animal thing. It's like, weight of the world. When I was a young boy.
Yeah, and then this character died, and then this character died.
Arya Stark died in the second episode.
And then this character came back and did that.
Did I tell you guys we're doing a Deadpool at work for Game of Thrones?
Who's going to last? Who's going to make it?
Yeah.
Apparently the Night King's not even like the biggest threat in the series. Like, what the fuck do you mean?
What's above the Night King?
That's it. The Night King brings the Endless Night. What?
That's what, according to... Weiss and Binoff. That's the, he's
like,
not the
are
biggest
they gonna
threat.
Kill him in like the penultimate episode? And like the end of that episode is all of the Stark's like, yeah, direwolves coming back and be like, we were the true evil. You raised us.
They suddenly throw in Lady Stoneheart the last seconds. Like, Dr. surprise, Manhattan bitches. Comes down from
the
sky.
The wolves fuse with the dragons to become one ancient, like, kaiju. You're like, we were the ultimate villain. And then they have to summon Game of Thrones Megazord power.
Wolf, lion, dragon, with our powers combined.
Don't forget the Kraken. Like, each person from the house.
Like, the wall in Castle Black become like a Final Fantasy Alexander sort of thing.
Okay, I made the joke a little bit before the podcast about me. I'd be really upset if we don't get the steampunk map to come to life. And now we've come full circle with the Game of Thrones Megazord.
Well, no, now I'm imagining, like, Final Fantasy IX, like, the main castle in the capital becomes Alexander the Summon to fight Bahamut. And I'm like, what if they have Castle Black now? Like, that's the thought going through my head right now. Of just, or all of the castles combined to create one giant mech. Like, this really went off the rails.
This got off track real fast.
Yeah, as soon as Arya became a Jedi, it was just real fucked. Like, I just don't know anymore. Alrighty, we'll end it. Thank you guys for listening to Random Episode. As always, you can leave us a review on Google Play, iTunes, SoundCloud, other major podcasting services, because they'll give us a little more attention, and then with that attention, we can do some other cool things. And you can also send us any comments on Facebook, Twitter, or
ztpodcast.com/comment.
And we'll read your comments live on air. We would love to talk to you. Sometimes there's weeks where we only talk about Star Wars and maybe we want to talk about something else. I wouldn't. I love Star Wars. It's great. Alpha Squadron book is coming out soon. The A-Wing and the B-Wing, Zach.
We're done.
And with that, we bid you all adieu. Love you, Internet. Pew, pew, whoosh, whoosh. Pew, Star Wars pew, noises. Pew.